Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Episode 434 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. You done?
Yep. Sorry.
Nothing else comes close. Holy fuck. Can't even wait, eh? Trigger happy over there?
It's amazing. I thought you said that you were in a happy mood.
I'm in a great mood. I think the Sabres are awesome. That's the first thing I said to you this morning, but we're not getting right into that. Do you know what I'm doing right now?
What?
Planning my summer concert tour list. I'm finding all the concerts that are going on over the summer, and I'm planning all my concerts. Because that's
really
what I do every summer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's some good ones coming.
Like, who would be your favorite if you had a choice to, you know, to go see anyone in concert? Who would be your in your top three?
Okay, so there's one thing that I don't care about what people think about me, and that is my taste in music. I have a very wide range, very eclectic taste, and I listen to pretty much everything. Very little country, but there are a few country songs that are catchy.
Yeah.
So while we were playing hockey, there were always concerts and stuff going on, and bands that I just never got a chance to see. Bands that I listened to all through junior, all through the later 90s and early 2000s. And there's a concert coming to Darien Lake, which I don't like going to Darien Lake for concerts. It's a nightmare. Okay, but I'm going to make an exception, and I'm going to go see Creed and Three Doors Down at Darien Lake. Creed is back touring again. Do you remember Creed? People hate Creed. They think they're like a Christian rock band, and they've got some cheesy songs, but they've got some really good songs. And it's not even so much for the songs as much as it is the nostalgia, right? So
yeah,
like, yeah. Do you remember My Own Prison? I mean, that's their...
I'd have to listen to the song. I don't know the names of the songs.
Court is in session. A verdict is in. No appeal on the docket today, just my own sins. Oh, yeah. So,
all right. I like that. Okay.
So they're coming, and they have a couple, people are going to say, be like, Creed, fucking Creed. They're dead, aren't they? Well, no, they kind of were. But so they have another song, kind of like off their mainstream songs, called Inside Us All. That's another one of my favorites. And then To Whom It May Concern. But then they have, obviously, one, and they have a bunch of good songs. So, and then Bush is coming back to Art Park.
Okay,
so I have to go see Bush again. But then there's a bunch in between there that are kind of interesting. So that's what I'm doing. That's kind of where my head's at this morning. Sorry.
Nice. I like that. Good for you.
Your head is in a completely different location.
Yeah, I would not be caught dead at a concert. I just far too many people for me. That's just me in a nutshell. But
yeah, but this is my thing though. Over it's a beat.
I know
it beats going to bars for me. Like I would rather
I don't go to bars
a concert.
Either.
Well, I don't either. But I mean, I would rather go to a concert and see a band that I used to drive around listening to,
yeah,
or would have in my headsets when I was training or whatever. Like, I wrote something the other day on Twitter about Our Lady Peace. 30 years they've been banging out music.
Yeah.
And I have been listening to them since they came out in 1994 with their first album. I mean, they went to Ridley College, where my father was the athletic director for 30 years. So there was always that kind of connection to them too. So I mean, these bands that were kind of along for their journey in my hockey career, training and all your summer training camps and going to training camps, driving in your car to games, like the music you'd have on. I mean, I like to go and try and catch those bands now as they get a little older.
Right. I can see that. And I know you love music, and you know, I ask you for playlists, because I know that you give me bands that I have never heard of before. I would think that that I have a pretty good grasp on music. Listened to obviously a lot of music growing up, but for me and my knowledge of music, I would think that there's not too many bands out there that I do not know. And I remember you sent me that one playlist that I asked for. I said, test me out here. And I didn't know one band on the entire playlist.
Sick playlist though, wasn't it?
Incredible playlist. Yeah, but I'm like, how is that even possible? Where are these bands from? Like, it was just, it was awesome. So anyway, I enjoyed that.
So anyway, that's what I've been doing this morning. That and watching, obviously, some of the highlights. But you had something you wanted to talk about first. You were listening to, you heard a clip from, what was it, Game Notes, from the Spit and Chicklets Game Notes guys about...
Yeah, it's the new podcast. You know how they have the Spit and Chicklets with Biz and Whit.
Yeah, it's
Whitney.
Colby Armstrong and Matt Murley, I think. Is it Matt Murley?
I'm not 100% sure, but you know, they're
pretty sure it's Matt Murley, and I've met Murley through Tim Connolly years ago. They were buddies.
Right. Anyway, you know, solid podcast, and you know, a new podcast that just gives a different perspective from Barstool Sports that's backing it, and it's obviously flown to one of the top in the charts, just because, you know, it's kind of like a spinoff of the Spit and Chicklets. Anyway, they were talking about, it was interesting. They're talking about, who is the other guy you said, Merlin?
Matt Murley
said he was playing hockey the other night.
Merlin was the pilot from Top Gun 1 who.
Yeah, there you go.
Merlin.
So Merley was playing some men's league hockey the other night. Said great bunch of guys. He said that one of the guys was telling him a story about he's coaching a youth hockey team. And he was telling the guys that he said, I had a kid that came up to me, came off the ice after one of his shifts, came over to me and says, hey, coach, can you put this back in my ear? And the coach said, well, what are you talking about? He was like, oh, my earpiece fell out. So the coach walks over to the kid, and there's this little black box with a wire connected to it that goes into the kid's ear. And it's the dad who's on the other side of the glass, basically telling the kid where to go on the ice. You need to go to the front of the net. No, back up. Okay. Two hands on your stick. Two hands on your... Okay, go. You got a forecheck.
I'm not surprised. I heard the story. I heard you played it for me. Are you surprised by this?
I'm not surprised at all. I'm actually surprised that there's not more of this, with how crazy
hockey has gotten in general.
This
is way over the fucking line. Like, this is way over the line. Although, is it?
I think it's way over the line. Well, what's happening in the game of hockey right now, Petey, is absolutely off the chart. Parents are ruining the game of hockey for their kids. They're not all of them. I'm not saying all parents. I'm saying there is a group of parents on every single team. I don't care if it's AAA hockey, AA hockey. Parents are just trying too hard. Instead of allowing the reason why their kid's playing the game in the first place, the reason why the kid wanted to play the game in the first place, it's the love of just putting on your skates, your equipment, getting out, having the cold air against your face and going to have fun and play and compete with your friends. And now all of a sudden, you have thrown in the crazy mom and the batshit crazy dad who's doing extra coaching, video at home. You know, it's just gone way past the point of enjoyment. And I've gone through this twice with both my boys. And I've been part of AAA hockey here in Buffalo for 12 years. And I can honestly say I am so happy it's done.
Yeah, I
and I've coached a long time, and I absolutely love coaching these kids. I've loved being around the kids. Every single day I go to the rink, I have a smile on my face because I can't wait to get there to talk to the kids. Talk to the boys in the dressing room, have fun with them, joke around. I want them to love to want to come to the rink. Like, oh my God, I cannot wait to get to the rink. And I have found over the course of my time coaching and loving being around it that I have not enjoyed being around it. And it's not because of the kids. The parents are batshit nuts. And if you think it's taken my love and passion away from hockey, imagine what you're doing to your son.
So can I ask you, do they all kind of get lumped in together or like unfairly lumped in together? Are there a few that are more batshit crazy than the others that just kind of that get the title of batshit parent crazy?
Yes.
Well, that's the conversation that I love that I had with you that day. We were watching your son play at the Northtown Center. I was watching, and everyone here in Buffalo, like the goal is like, oh, the Junior Sabres are the pinnacle. The Junior Sabres are the pinnacle. It's like, if I'm not at the Junior fucking Sabres by 8 years old, I'm never going to be there when I'm 12 or 13. I remember I asked you, I said, and what age was that? Was that 15 or 16 you that we were watching?
15.
Okay, it's 15 you. The mindset and the panic of parents feeling like their kid has to be playing at the pinnacle at the youngest age. My first question to you was, how many of these kids on this 15U team have been here since the entirety of the Junior Sabres? Like, so whenever it started at 9U for them, right?
Yeah.
I said, how many? And you said 3. And then I asked you, what year's contact? 13U? And then I said, what percentage of kids have turned over from 13U to now? And what did you say? Do you remember the number? I do. You said 75%.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time down at the Junior Sabres. I think the environment down there, I enjoyed it from the minute I got there. I will say this, though. There are a lot of people that hum and haw about bringing their kid down to the Junior Sabres because it's the so-called pinnacle of hockey in Buffalo. And for me, personally, I don't think you need to go down to play for the Junior Sabres until your kid is literally the elite player on his team. Wherever else area you're playing, you do not need to go down there until at least 13U or 14U. And the reason for that is the time where scouts start to watch and exposure starts to happen. Doesn't happen at 12. It doesn't really happen at 13. Well, it starts at 14, like a tiny bit. And 15 is a big year.
15 is a huge year. But I hate to kind of piss on your parade a little bit here, but you're leaving out a very key element. Three key elements, maybe four or five even.
Yep. What's
okay.
that?
Puberty.
Puberty is mind-blowing.
Okay. And then on top of it, body contact. Okay. So this kid now at 11 or 12 years old, who might be like an end-to-end rusher, dangler, absolute toe drag artist, specialist, is going to get completely fucking train wrecked by some mutant kid at 13, 14 U, and he may never want to even play hockey again.
Yeah.
So there's a huge separator from 13, from 12 and 13, and then 13 to 14 and 14 to 15, because the game becomes way more physical. To me, it's about playing the most and getting the most ice time that you possibly can, and practice time. That's all it comes down to, in my opinion. And then at 12, 13 years old, I mean, do you want to be spending 15, 20 grand on hockey at 10, 11, 12 years old? And then at 13, realize that when contact comes in, your kid just can't cut it. Now you're $35,000 out of the wallet, and you could be
You don't know if your son, you know, is going to be big or small, or if he's going to struggle. There's a lot of small kids that don't struggle with body contact at 13. There's kids that do not shy away at all. There's bigger kids that you would think would not have a problem with it that have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's not even the contact. It's the less time, playing with less time with the puck, like less time and space on the ice.
Right.
It's not, can they handle the contact? Are they good enough to adapt to the change of the game? Because when contact comes in, it's not just about body checking. It's about when you get the puck on the boards as a winger, you don't have 3 seconds anymore. You got a second and a half or a second. Like, your time gets hacked way down with decision making. Are you able to make faster decisions? Are you able to get to those spots when players are allowed to obstruct you? That's all I'm saying. Yep. It's not about, do you have the guts and the courage? I don't want to mistake it with that. It's simply, can you adapt to the game as it changes?
Yes.
As you get to the speed of it.
That's, and there's a big change.
It's a big change.
Yeah.
And you know, when a kid can go end to end 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but then at 12, guess what happens? Next year at 13, you're getting bumped sooner with that puck. You're getting hit for the second you get that puck. So you're not going end-to-end. Are you smart enough to distribute the puck? Are you used to making a play with that puck under pressure like that?
Yeah.
That comes down to coaching it at young ages.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout, Saturday, April 6th. It's the college basketball tournament watch parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
All right, so a big night last night in Buffalo. Jeff Skinner played his 1,000th game. Little pregame ceremony. Family was on the ice. A very nice ceremony.
Yeah.
I will say this. I can't remember the first 1,000 game honoring that I saw during my career, but I feel like it was a defenseman that you played with in Montreal that got booed out of there. Did he play 1,000 games there?
Brisbois.
Did he play 1,000 games?
I think he might have played. Yes.
I think we played in a game when Patrice Brisebois got his 1,000 game stick. And I thought that was one of the coolest things. And I remember sitting on the bench thinking, I'll never get one of those. And I knew it. I was 23. I was an enforcer in the league. Like, you're not getting 1,000 games.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty cool. And I've always thought that was cool when you see that. And, you know, I mean, we shit on Jeff Skinner about the playoffs and, you know, his, all that other stuff. But when I saw that last night, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, that's a really cool, that's probably one of the coolest things next to a Stanley Cup.
The coolest thing is seeing the family. And that's what resonates with me the most is you look at Jeff Skinner, obviously very well liked by his teammates and the city here in Buffalo. But to see his mother and father and his sisters walk on the ice representing the Skinner family, what goes through my mind is all of the time, money, effort spent by those parents. That's what makes this an incredible accomplishment for Jeff, is to be able to kind of reflect not on what he's done in 1,000 games in the NHL, where he's had a lot of success individually, okay, goals and points, and thinking about the longevity of him playing this long. But for me, and I think maybe for Jeff, once he has time to reflect, it's about all of the work that went into Jeff Skinner being who he was at the younger ages through his, you know, his family, take him to the rink, you know, countless hours at the rink those parents have spent. And that's what I really loved to see last night is the family on the ice. Cause I know that they're probably very supportive, and it was really nice to see the mother and father. And it's almost like a give back to them for everything that they've done for Jeff. So pretty special,
you know,
night.
You know what I was wondering when I was watching the video of it was, I wonder how much of his offensive success comes from his figure skating and his edge work. Because if you think about it, in the NHL, he's got to be one of the best guys on his edges. When you think about it, when you know, tight spaces and that, you know, the heel, the, you know, I don't know what they call that, but I mean, you know, where he comes up the ice and he always, like, he's twisting his
body. It's like the Alf Dahlin 10 to 2, little shimmy shake, and you know,
Alf Dahlin, there you go. But I wondered, I mean, they show him up there doing like axles and shit like that, and I'm super impressed. Yeah. I don't know if he's like the prettiest skater in hockey, but I have to tell you that his edge work is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, twisting, turning, pivoting, excellent. Straight line, front north south speed is I think very average. But he can twist and he can turn, and his edging is beautiful. It's very, very smooth. But the game right now, in today's game, it's a north-south game. It's a speed game. You watch J.J. Paterka skate? Holy jumping. Jack Quinn? Incredible. Alex Tuck? Wow. Straight line, speed and power. Jeff Skinner does not skate like that. You'll notice in games where he'll receive a puck like just in the mid-neutral zone. He'll take about 3-4 strides, and then he'll all of a sudden turn sideways and do that little shimmy shake, and then go forward again.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you noticed that before?
Oh, yeah. Of course I've noticed that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Because that's a player that is looking to buy time because he knows that he doesn't have the speed.
Right? Casey Mittelstadt would also do something that he didn't do what Skinner does with the movements, but his legs would go wide and he would turn up, and you definitely notice that he's going to look for a pass because he didn't have that explosive speed to get past a guy.
That's right. And he would turn up. Casey Mittelstadt protected the puck very well.
But he didn't have a choice. I mean, you almost don't have a choice when you, like, that's kind of what we talk about when adapting to your ability and your skills too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Casey Mittelstadt knew that if I'm going to survive in this league, He would draw players to him because of his speed, lack of speed, if you want to call it that. And then he would distribute the puck, which is, you know, probably why he has, you know, more assists than goals, although he's actually doing really well in Colorado right now.
But, yeah.
Anyway, it was a nice night. And I, you know, like I was watching last night and, you know, we've been very hard on Skinner. And I think when you, playoffs or not, 1,000 games is a lot of games. So the boys got him a gift, though. Did you see the gift?
I did see that. Very impressive.
The Sea-Doo?
Yeah.
Totally appropriate. I mean, I almost wonder, like when you're buying a gift like that, like, are you saying, fuck, the guy's the king of the offseason? Get him a Sea-Doo. Sorry, I had to. But you almost have to think, like it's kind of funny. You got the guy a fucking Sea-Doo. Someone texted me, you'll get great use out of that. You can use it from, you know, April to training camp. Cheap shot. I know.
The funny thing is, that's kind of like the first thing I thought.
I know it is.
As soon as they pulled it out, I was like, oh my God, you know, like Sea-Doo, like he's going to be driving that in 2 weeks. But it, you know what? It's an awesome gesture from the boys and the team. It's very apparent with how they spoke about him, listening to the team speak about him. He seems like a quirky, fun, you know, always has a smile on his face type person around the rink. Like nothing's bothering him too much. And
that's great. I heard he's a great guy. I know his teammates like him. Does not mean that he should be on the team going forward. That's a completely separate conversation, but we've beat that one.
Well, listen, I mean, in a nutshell, Jeff Skinner, absolutely amazing what he's done up to this point. And you can sit there and dwell on, oh, he has a record of the most games without a playoff opportunity. And for me, I think that's a bit of horse shit.
Yeah, you said that yesterday.
He came to a team in Carolina that sucked.
Yeah, you said that yesterday.
At the very end, when they were really starting to get better, they moved him away, okay? And then he came to Buffalo, which this team's been a train wreck for years, and he's been involved. Is that just on Jeff Skinner, or has he just had some bad luck? He's obviously produced offensively. He's not a great defensive player. He's not an energy guy. Like he's not out there hitting, but he's a really, really talented hockey player in his own right in what he does. Now, the question is,
top of the circles down, Craig, dynamic. That's all we have to say about him.
That's right. There are teams in this league that will win with Jeff Skinner on the team. There's no question. If Jeff Skinner went to half the teams in the league, he'd be in the playoffs. The reality is,
well, that's because half the
for
teams
the
in
Sabres,
the
and this is just my opinion. It's only my opinion because there's people out there that don't agree with me. They think that Jeff Skinner should be here because of what he does is great for this team. And for me, I don't agree with that. For me, I think that you can move Jeff Skinner out to give opportunity to others, to have them, just like, for an example, Jeff Skinner got moved from the top line because he was not producing. He got moved to the third line. You have JJ Paterka, who gets an opportunity to play with the big boys, to play with Tage Thompson and to play with Alex Tuch. So you ask yourself, how are they doing? How's JJ Paterka doing now that he's had the opportunity to play with the best players?
I don't know. Probably the same way somebody would if they were dealing with an attorney at Salino Law. If you get hurt in a car crash or you need a personal injury attorney, that's Salino Law. Car crash, call the 8s, 888-888-8888. Call Salino.
He scored four out of the five games that he's played with them. Or even more. Like, he started.
And that's what you're talking about. You know, I mean, there's a guy that you can get on a contract. Who knows what the deal is? Let's not get into that because we talked about that yesterday. But it's going to be a lot less than $9 million, and I think his production level can be higher than what Jeff Skinner's is.
For me, it's not even about Jeff Skinner's necessarily his money. I know he makes a lot of money, and he's banked a lot of money over his career, and that's great for him, and he's deserved. He's deserved the money because, you know, the team's paying him.
Yeah, how about you word it this way? He has deserved a fair market price for his point production.
Let's just leave it at that.
That's a very
my point about is you have to think about the future. How much are you going to pay J.J. Beterka moving forward? What are you going to pay Jack Quinn? Jack Quinn, I'm going to tell you, gives a completely different element to this team. Now, I know he's not scoring goals and he's not producing a lot of points right now, but he is very, very talented. Like, I mean, very talented. He gives this team a different dynamic with his skating, his speed. He's a very smart player defensively. And he has the ability to score goals. He will be a 30-goal scorer in this league. Mark my words, you can book it, okay? So what I'm trying to say is you look at the 18-year-old little whippersnapper, man. Zach Benson flying around. The kid is really – he's a really good player. Like, I look at him, and we look at – through our lenses as fans, we look at him and kind of – you have this impression, interpretation of what Zach Benson is right now. But I don't think we have any idea what Zach Benson's going to be like when he's 22 or 25. This kid's going to be a stud. Like, he is going to be really good.
The Sabres pay him. Well, we got to figure that out. That's a conversation.
What are you going to do with your third line center next year? You're going to have to pay him too.
Let's talk about
that. There's so many things you have to pay.
Yeah, let's talk about that later in the offseason. Like, not even later in the offseason, just in a few weeks when the season's over. Because the question is, that's a huge win for the Sabres last night. And they did a lot of teams a favor who I don't think that they thought were going to pull that win off. I got to ask you again. Are they done?
You're a good editor, right? Editing?
I like to chalk myself up there.
That's just
the
stupidest question ever. Like, I don't even know. What are we doing here? Why are we even talking about are they done?
Because
they were done a long, long, long time ago.
I'll tell you why. I'm asking you the question as guys in the locker room who want to make the playoffs. If we're sitting there and maybe we understand that our fate may be set, but it's not, you know, you have Philadelphia on Friday night. By the way, John Tortorella completely riled that team up in his last post-game press conference, okay? So expect an absolute fireball of a team coming from Philadelphia on Friday. You have Detroit on Sunday afternoon in Detroit. Those are two wild card race teams right there. Detroit being one of them. Then you have Washington again. Now, you can't control what goes on around you, but if you can beat Philly and you can beat Detroit and you can beat Washington and you can beat Tampa Bay, that's going to give you 2, 3, 4. That's a guaranteed 8 more points. I don't know. I can't promise anything with Florida, who has been dog shit lately. Florida's spiraling right now, but they were doing this last year at this time too, right before the playoffs.
How many points do we have if we win out? If we win out.
12 more points I would give you.
How many games have we played, Petey?
Not enough. It's not going to give you enough.
We've played 77 games. We have 5 left. That's a possible 10 points.
You played 76 games. You have 6 games left.
So we have a possible 12 points. So we have a possible. We can only get 89 points. Right? That's where things get really tough.
I'm going to edit that question out.
You know, it's just the difficult position that the Sabres are in are the amount of teams that they're trying to, you know, compete with. You know, you're competing with Philadelphia. You're competing with Washington. the Red Wings, the Islanders.
Well, here's the Red Wings
Pittsburgh
schedule.
Penguins, the New Jersey Devils.
The Red Wings have the Rangers. The Rangers on Friday, Buffalo on Sunday, Washington. That game against Washington is going to be massive.
Yeah.
They have, they're in Pittsburgh, they're in Toronto, then they're home and home with Montreal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. So they're done. But what a game last night.
I wouldn't say they're done. I would say that in order for them to have.
You just said you're a good editor. That was the stupidest question.
Well, listen, it is a stupid question. You asking me these questions, do you think they have an opportunity? What are we talking about here? They're 5 points out and they have six games to go. Like, what are we talking about? Like, you know, the Buffalo Sabres, if they win all their games, can get 89 points. Right now, Washington, Detroit have 82 points. They need basically.
Let me tell you Washington's schedule. Pittsburgh, Carolina, Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Boston, Philly. They didn't look like a great team last night. Sorry.
Listen, Washington, like when you look at the Buffalo Sabres hockey team and then go and look at the Buffalo Sabres, you ask yourself what team you would want. They're not even close. I think Washington's terrible. Like they are struggling at best to try and find wins. Like I am so shocked with looking at their team. They moved out Mantha. They moved out Kunetsov. They don't have Backstrom. Last night they didn't have Oshie playing. They didn't have Tom Wilson playing. Like those are five players that were top end players on Washington that are out of the lineup. So the Islanders
can't get more than 8 points, and the Sabres could have them, and they'll have them in wins. And the Islanders' schedule is okay. Columbus on Thursday, Nashville.
But listen, the Islanders points ahead. 4 points ahead right now with a game in hand.
Listen, man, I'm just saying worst case scenario. Like the Sabres have to win out. Fuck, all right? Like the way they looked last night, they get in the playoffs.
They played American Hockey League team.
Oh, come on.
Like what are we talking about, man? I just told you their entire team in Washington wasn't there. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do.
Like, are we going to sit here and talk about how great the Sabres are? Like, they literally played a B-level team. They did not have Tom Wilson. They didn't have TDJ Oshie.
A little more positive than we've been in the past. You know what I mean? Like, that's all. You know what I mean?
Listen, I mean, I thought they played well. It's really nice to see Tage Thompson. Tage Thompson was a monster last night. Absolute monster last night. The way he was moving and grooving, you have JJ Paterka. That's a very smart player. He's got sniper mitts on him. That he's just a great player to play with guys like Alex Tuch. Alex Tuch was moving and grooving last night. Listen, if your best players are your best players, then you're going to win hockey games. And in the reality of things, our best hockey players this year have not provided this team with the best hockey. Tage Thompson has not produced.
Yeah, but you know what they're going to do?
Jeff Skinner has not produced.
You know what they're going to do, though, Craig? You know what they're going to do? They're going to have an unbelievable finish, and they're going to give us so much hope going into next year, and we're going to miss the playoffs by 4 points, and we're going to say, back at the start of maybe if we didn't do this and we didn't do that, or a couple games here and there, we had some injuries here, and everyone's job is justified. Then everything's fine. And then, you go to work in the off season. I will say this, though, before we get out of here.
There's no question that things need to change on the Sabres.
Well,
it's undeniable.
That's quite an umbrella statement. Now be more specific. But don't do it today. Do it later because we're out of time. And, Craig, there have been a lot of mistakes this year. that cost this team the playoffs.
And where does it start?
We'll talk about that tomorrow. But on a final note here, for Sabres news, the Sabres have loaned Devon Levi to the Rochester Americans. So, you know, whatever, that's probably just to get him some time down there, get the playoffs down there. Are they in the playoffs, Rochester?
I think yes, but it's to continue to, for him, he needs to play games. He needs to play. That's the number one thing with Devon Levi.
Are we riding UPL on the way out of town here? Not on the way out of town, like running him out of town. I mean, are we riding him on the way out of the season here, the whole way through?
The whole way through, I would imagine that he's going to play Friday night against Philadelphia. That's for sure. I would think that he would probably play in Detroit. I would think he'd play in Dallas. I think he'd play in Washington. Like,
if this team wants to find something to play for, he needs 5 wins to hit 30 wins. 5 wins to hit 30 wins. That would be incredible. He has a 2.57 goals against, a .910 save percentage, and 5 shutouts. And 25 wins in 49 games.
He's had a pretty impressive year. That's all you need to know. When you look at what he's done this year, like, he's right up there with the elite guys in this game.
I think he plays every game on the way out. I mean, they have Friday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Monday. It's every other day. That's 7 games. If he stays obviously healthy through those 7 games, that gives him 56 games played on the year. That's a good starting goalie pace for next year, right? So 55 for him, the rest for Levi. Right, that's not terrible. That's 27 games for Devon Levi. That's a good pace.
He's just done so well. He you know, 49 games he's played this year. His statistics with the save percentage and goals against is right up there with the top guys in the league. And you know what? I mean, it's a really, really positive sign for the Sabres moving forward, knowing that they have a goaltender. They have found a goaltender at the right age. This isn't a guy that's 32. This is a kid who's 25 years old, just turned 25 years old. He's in the prime. His next 5 to 7 years are going to be his prime years in the NHL. And, he's played himself into a clear-cut number one position. And the other great thing that goes along with this is they have an extremely mature, extremely young, and green, and highly, highly competitive goaltender that wants to be a number one. And this is, I think, a really, really strong tandem. One of the strongest that you'll get for the next number of years with the Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and Devon Levi together sharing the net. And one of those guys, obviously, it's UPL's net right now because he's deserved it and he's taken things over. But, man, the goaltending situation looks very, very positive moving forward.
All right, on that note, that'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, for everything going on at Seneca, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com for more information. Solar eclipse coming up and the last weekend of March Madness coming up.